Jesus, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, Lord God, he's the president of this ever-increasing word training center, Lord God, and we thank you that he's the visionary, Lord God. We thank you for the vision, Lord God, changing the lives of people with the word of God, Lord God, LTMA lighting the torches of ministry around the world, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that this ministry is touching and reaching people all over the world, Lord God, from this epicenter here in Darrell, Lord God, hallelujah. You're doing something, Lord God, that's unique, and I'm just blessed to be a part of it, Lord God, and I thank God I don't take it lightly, Lord God, what you're doing. So we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it. And Lord, as always, I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit to guide me through this lesson, and I thank you, Lord God, that I know he will, because otherwise I'd fall on my face. I'm leaning completely and totally on him. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things, I always like to say that, because you always want to place your dependency upon God. You know, you can do all things through Christ, but outside of Christ, you're working in your own ability, and that's limited. You know, so I always want to give him an invitation to interrupt my whatever I'm doing and speak to me, and I just want to, you know, walk in that obedience. Amen. What we're going to be talking about today in reference to honor, one of the key attributes to honor is loyalty, walking in loyalty. Loyalty, let me just give you some definitions or some synonyms of loyalty. Loyalty, a person who walks in loyalty, they walk in faithfulness, commitment, devotion. They walk in allegiance, you know, and when you walk in allegiance, you're walking in line, and you're part of a team because you're walking in allegiance. You're a person who's loyal. They're very reliable. They have reliability, fidelity, you know, honesty. They have patriotism. You know, I'm a patriot of apostle. I'm a patriot of Word of Life. Just like as an American citizen, you're a patriot of this country, you know, but you can have patriotism to your pastor, to, you know, your man of God, the person that God has called you to submit to. And a person who walks in loyalty, they also walk in obedience. They're very consistent. A loyal person is consistent. They're not wishy-washy. They're not here today, gone tomorrow. You know, I was out for about 9 days, and it felt odd, you know, not being here, you know, we watched the services on our computer, online, wherever we were, but it's not the same as being here. You know, a person who's consistent, they're steady, you know. Also, dependability. A person who walks in loyalty, they have a dependability. You can depend on a loyal person. You know they're going to show up and do what they've been trained or expected to do. And in ministry, that's very important, that there be dependability. You want your man of God, your pastor, to be able to depend upon you, because they cannot do everything. And that's why is what is called the ministry of helps. People who are called into the ministry of helps. Actually, if you're not the pastor, you are part of the ministry of helps, because you're called alongside to undergird and support your man of God, whatever God is calling them to do. And that's so very important. A person who is loyal is also, they have a lot of trustworthiness. You can trust them. You know, you don't have to turn, you can turn your back, and you know whether or not you're there or not, it's going to be steady the same way. You know, they're not going to change. They're not going to, you know, I know in the work world, and it's funny, I mentioned the work world, my former boss called me when I was on vacation, and he says, Greg, how you doing? I said, I'm doing well. I said, matter of fact, I'm in Gatlinburg, Tennessee right now. You know, he said, really? You sound like you're enjoying yourself. I said, yes, I sure am. He said, we need your help. I said, what you mean? He said, can you come and work for 3 months? We in a bind. We lost an individual, and we need your expertise. And I'm listening to him, and I'm saying, Lord, no. And so I told him, I think about it, but the Lord said, I don't need to go back. And that's a good thing about it. Because of what I've been taught here, you know, it wasn't a money issue. Right. It was just, you know, if, well, but what I'm doing here is to me just so much more important. So I told him, thanks, but no thanks, you know. And that's a good thing to be able to, you know, I appreciated the invitation, but, you know, God has called me on to bigger and better things. Amen. All right. A person who is loyal, also, there's a steadfastness. Steadfast means you're steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you're steadfast, that means you're sticking to it. Always encourage people to stick to their assignment. Whatever God's called you to do, you know, stick to it, you know. Like I said, I've been in prison ministry, 28 years now? You know, even though I'm not going out as much and people report to me, but my hand is very much in it. I was just talking to one of our new prison ministers a few minutes ago, and he was telling me he went out the first time and how, you know, I think one person rededicated their life, another person got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was all excited, you know, and it just... It's a blessing when you see something that your hand is in and you see it grow because of the steadfastness, you know, staying steadfast with what you've been called to do. All right, let me get into the lesson because I'm 33 minutes already. Another aspect of loyalty, we're talking about loyalty and how loyalty is a major attribute or key attribute to walking in the spirit of honor. A person who is loyal, they have an unswerving allegiance, faithful in allegiance to one's lawful sovereign, who is God, and our government. You know, when you're faithful to your country, but at the same time, when you're faithful to the government of God, you're loyal to it. You know, that's so very important. Loyalty is the principal qualification for every assistant in ministry. In an apostolic government, there must be loyalty among its members with the government God, for the government of God to advance properly. I stated earlier that, you know, anyone, if you're not the pastor, even if you work on staff, you know, you're part of the ministry of helps. You may have a bigger role to play, but anybody under the pastor who's there and assigned to that ministry, they're an assistant, you know, because when you assist means you're called alongside to undergird, to be there, support, and do what needs to be done to get the work of the Lord accomplished. A lot of times people believe that an inexperienced person may think that some brother or sister who's a good orator, who can speak very well, who's well-versed in the word, would make a good assistant or a good person working in the ministry of helps. But don't be deceived by thinking that, because the Bible teaches us that the cardinal requirements for leadership is faithfulness and nothing else. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And inside that faithfulness is loyalty. And when you operate in loyalty, you can't help but walk in the spirit of honor, because you're being loyal, faithful, dependable, you know, trustworthy, you know, all those adjectives I stated earlier. You have a devotion, a reliability, you know, commitment, walking in obedience, dependability. If you work in the ministry of helps, you fall under the qualification of an assistant to your pastor. An assistant is one called to help their pastor in fulfilling the vision and assignment that God has that pastor. And that vision becomes your vision. And that's so very important that you understand that. My vision is changing the lives of people with the Word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. And I know here at Word of Life Christian Center, we're the home of covenant winners. Every time we go into the prisons, you know, I tell them, you know, all the prison ministers, you got to let people know that, because that's the vision. You know, the Bible even talks about, you know, in Exodus, about write the vision and make it plain, you know, so that the people know this is what we aiming to do. This is what we're accomplishing here. You know, the vision is so very important. Our job as Minister of Helps is to assist our man of God, who is our pastor, in fulfilling the vision that God has called him to. This is an assignment and it's a calling from God. I was in the copy room with Reverend Gotro, and then Pastor Cowan came in, and he kind of came right on in. We were talking about how working as an assistant or in the Ministry of Helps is really a calling from God. You know, don't think it to be any less than somebody who's in the pulpit ministering, because everything that's done inside of a church structure is to help get the Word of God ministered effectively to the people, whether it's helping somebody find a parking space, whether it's greeting them at the door, making them feel welcome. You know, all of those things, you know, the pastor can't park cars, you know, he can't be at the door greet. Even though in the early years, I remember in my early Baptist years, I saw some of those pioneer pastors do just about everything. And by the end of the day, they'd be wore out. You know, they'd greet people coming in and greet them going out. You know, they would baptize them and, you know, just everything. Teach Sunday school, just you name it, you know. The pastor was there before anybody else, and he was there after all everybody else left, you know. And one of the things the Lord showed me was that, you know, people have to, you know how to step up and start filling in the gaps, start getting involved. Because that brings honor, you know. Whatever your hand finds to do, get involved and get involved in what God is doing. An assistant is one who follows orders that comes down from the pastor. The assistant dedicates himself to serve their pastor, who is called by God to serve in the office of pastor. And now this is a key element here. All pastors should be under and submitted to an apostle. This is God's divine and proper order so that the flow of anointing can flow down properly. The apostle operates under a heaven to earth government, which opens the portals, brings the connection where divine mysteries and revelation flows down to him. Then from the apostle, it flows down to the pastor, who, you know, submits to him as a son. And then to those who assist their pastor so that everybody can be in proper order and alignment and can function in the supernatural. And that's so very important, you know. You know, God always uses a man. You know, God calls whoever he chooses to call. And from the head, from God, from Jesus being the head over the church, you have the fivefold ministry gifts with the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, with apostles and prophets being the two chief pillars in that fivefold ministry, where God gives them divine mysteries and revelations, and they in turn, and we see that happening here, pastors who are submitted to apostle, they come to ministers conference, to supernatural Monday coming to you conferences, they get fed, so now they can take what they have just learned, it been imparted to them to their congregation, and so that flow of anointing just comes down. I remember in those early days when Apostle was following Kenneth Hagin, when I first became a member of the church. And when he said, look, I'm going to Tulsa, I said, well, I guess we got to go to Tulsa too. So we would load up and be there with him. And I watched him follow his spiritual father. You know, I mean, every meeting. You know, I remember one time he came and he touched me and he saw me, touched me on my shoulder. He said, son, that's how you get it. You get connected and you follow who God has called you to follow. So it's easy for me to follow Apostle because I've seen him do it. You know, he never says nothing that he hadn't already proven out. You know, so the example, you know, the street already been paved. All you got to do is walk down the street. You know, it's already been paved. You know, but that's what people in the Ministry of Helps are called to do. Amen. Let me move on because my time is well spent. Proverbs 27:18 says, Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth his master shall be honored. Now we know this class is the spirit of honor. So whosoever keepeth the fig tree, if you're tending to a garden, whether it's a garden of figs or, you know, fig trees or pecan trees, he says, if you keep it, you're going to eat the fruit thereof, be partakers of the fruit. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. That word waited is really serve, you know, serving as a, you know, and like I'm, and the reason why, that's why I've been talking about the ministry of help so much, because that is a serving position. He that waited or serves his master shall be honored. That was the King James Version. Let me give you the Message Version of Proverbs 27 and 18. It says, if you care for the orchard, you shall enjoy its fruit. If you honor your boss, you'll be honored. You know, when you honor properly, God will honor you. You know, that I've seen it in my own life. You know, when you honor and serve in honor, you're going to be honored. Okay, this is the American MPS version, whatever it is, AMPS version. Whoso tends the fig tree shall eat its fruit. So he that patiently and faithfully guards and heeds his master shall be honored. I like the patiently, you know. It's a process, you know. It's not a hurry up thing. But patiently, and then it says faithfully, being faithful. Every time the door's open, you know, trying to be in there. You know, I always tell people, when I come to church and I see somebody who was in a position and they're not in that position or more, I go up and I say, you know what, why did you step down from the praises, or why are you not ushering anymore? You know, I said that's a calling. You know, your blessing is behind that. Absolutely. You got to recognize that whatever you're doing, that's a blessing. Nothing you do for God will go without being unnoticed by God. And you know, one of the old Baptist hymns is, no matter how hard you try, you can't beat God's giving. When you give to God, good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Why? Because with the same measure you meet, it's going to be met unto you again and again. So, you know, it's so very important to walk in an area of faithfulness, in the area of loyalty. Okay, this is the NIV version. The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whosoever protects his master shall be honored. I use the word protect. You protect the anointing of God that's on your man of God by keeping him covered to the point where, getting back to Acts chapter 8, where it talks about, you know, the apostles give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, where when you're there to minister to the people and to help the everyday, you know, just everyday things. I'm gonna give you an example. While I was in on vacation, someone called me from the ministry. One of the prison ministers called me. I had two or three calls. And he said, the Lord put something on my heart that I want to minister this Saturday in the prison. And he told me what it was about. I said, well, one of the things the apostle has instructed us to do is to teach on the soul, you know, and the training of the soul. I said, that's primary. I said, we got to teach that because that's what he assigned us to do. I said, you know, I'm glad you got that revelation, but we're going to stick to the assignment, you know. And he said, okay, I got it, but I want to make sure. I said, yeah, okay, well, I'm letting you know. And then somebody else called me, because now the pastor wants a lot of us, well, all the people in ministry help to attend all the services, all the prayer meetings. And so I could tell this person hadn't been to a prayer meeting in a while, because he called and he said, Thursday prayer meeting, do we have to wear a suit for that? I said, no. I said, you don't. I said, apostle comes leisurely. So, you know, you just come to pray. I said, but, you know, during the regular services, yes, if your ministry helps. Because at first he said, you know, on Tuesdays we can come casual. And I told my wife, I said, I'm coming with a suit on. I said, but now if he comes casual that day, the next Thursday, I'll come casual. But I ain't going to come casual until I see him come casual. You know, that way I'll be safe, you know. And then before that Tuesday, he said, I want all my ministerial helps to dress in suits. The laity, you know, those who aren't, you know, in the ministerial helps don't have to. So I kind of looked at my wife and said, yeah, I knew he gonna wear a suit. You know, he just apostle. You know, when you know his heart, and see, that's something I want to get to, is knowing your pastor, knowing your man of God's heart. You know, that's so very important. Because when you know their heart, even if they might miss it, you know their heart, and you're there to undergird and to support them and you know, be there, because you know when they hear God, because one thing an apostle will do, he'll come back and he'll correct himself. If he says something and then the Lord say, well, no, and he'll come back and say, well, you know, we're not going in that direction. He'll do it in a heartbeat, you know, and if he says it publicly, he's going to turn around and correct it publicly, you know, and I respect that, you know, and that's a blessing. And I thank God for that. All right, let me move on because, I want to share this. You must understand protocol in ministry, the ranks in ministry, and the importance of submitting to delegated authority that's over you. That's so very important because a loyal assistant will understand protocol. And they'll follow protocol. A gentleman today, an LTA member, called me up. And I called him back because I was getting ready for this meeting. I get calls all the time. But anyway, he got a call from another brother who was going through a trial. And he said, yeah, I started to call Reverend Leroy Jr. He said, but my wife said, no, we need to follow protocol. He said, because he's a church member. He said, let's call one of the Master Life Bearers and let him know who I am and let him, you know, bring it up the chain of command. I said, I appreciate that, you know. But it was just here, you know, it's a blessing to see people understand protocol. You know, we have a system of care in the church, you know, that, you know, if you need to get to an apostle with something, you call your life bearer. And then from your life bearer, they contact the master life bearer. And then I'll contact either Reverend Leroy Jr. or Reverend Montrell, depending on who I can contact. And then it goes, and if it's something apostle needs to address, then he'll address it. You know, because all of that is part of an assistant. You know, just imagine if apostle would get all these calls. You know, another illustration. I about blew my notes completely out the water with my time. But anyway, one of the things he'd always say, I used to go to a lot of funerals, but I let these boys go now. And I'm one of those boys. And I never forget one funeral I went to. It was so traditional. It was so much embalmed with so much unbelief and so much, you know, I felt sorry for the family because they were just putting them through too much, you know. Just, you know, the coffin was like I say, you were part of the family. The coffin was like right here, and they left it open pretty much the whole service, you know. And then after the service, they had a final view, and so the family could take a final view, and they falling out, and then the preacher, he yelling and screaming, and didn't say nothing to uplift or encourage, you know. It was like, you know, we got a loss here, but you know, he's gonna be hard, but we with you, you know, and everything, what. Opposite of what I've been taught. And it got to the point that after the service was over with, all I wanted to do was just run out. I almost ran to my car and got out of there. And I said, "Ooh, man, this." Once I got off the property, I felt better. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, but imagine our man of God in his position having to go and sit through stuff, something like that. You know, that's what the ministry helps do. They take the load off of him, you know. And it was training for me. So I when I saw that, I said, yeah, I'm sure glad apostle wasn't here, you know. And a lot of times they'll see him and they'll throw darts at him, you know, just words, you know, just trying to attack him verbally because, you know, they don't understand, you know. But anyway, that's all a part of being a faithful, loyal assistant. I can go on and on things that, you know, that I've been, you know, privileged and blessed to do as an assistant here at Word of Life, to assist my man of God. Because what happens is, you must understand the concept as one man, being a partner in destiny. You know, we're partners. When you partner up with your pastor, you're a partner in destiny. In other words, you're laying the foundation and are helping to lay the foundation that years later other people are gonna be able to build upon that foundation. Okay, a good assistant is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, rooted in the very heart of the ministry. They shall not be moved away from the ministry God has called them to. They shall not be moved. You know, going back to that scripture in Psalms 1 and 3, you know, their roots are planted deep in the soil of the ministry. You know, they are called to. This is vitally important. You know, I was sharing with Reverend Gautreau and Pastor Cowan when he came in a few minutes prior to me leaving. I remember like yesterday when I came to a service, I was a visitor, and I had been counseled by Apostle, and he told me that I needed to be pastored, and I need, you know, he said, son, you got a call of God on your life, but you need to be mentored, you need to be pastored. He said, I'm not telling you to leave your church, but just come every now and then and glean from my ministry. I think it'll bless you. And so I did. And one Sunday, I was sitting in the back of the church, me and my wife, and an apostle was ministering. You know, even though he wasn't had the title of apostle, as he stated before, I think he really walked in it for years. He just wasn't aware of it. He didn't have the full revelation. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice saying, son, this is where you need to be. I turned around thinking the guy behind me was speaking to me. Nope. That was God. I said, okay, Lord. So I went home and I talked to my wife. I said, the Lord spoke to me today and told me that this is what we need to be. And she looked at me and said, yeah, I know. I've been waiting on you. You know, women always, they're very sensitive and they pick up things. You know, I have to agree. And I thank God for a good, godly wife. Mm-hmm. So the next Sunday we joined, you know, and I'm almost losing my point. But the key that I'm bringing to this being planted by the rivers of water. God called me here. That was 89 or so. It was 89, something like that. But anyway, or 90, I think it might have been 90. But years later, my job, when I was working, they sent me to the headquarters and wanted me to do a presentation, which I did, and I prayed, and God blessed it. And so I did so well that one of the chief people in the company who was over sales, he said, son, have you done any sales before? I said, no, I've never sold anything. He said, you could be a good salesman. I can use you in my Kansas region. He reached in his wallet, gave me a call. He said, give me a call. Let us talk. You know, he said, you got a gift there. You know, I think you can do well. And I'm all excited. I'm saying, oh, man, I finally got discovered, Lord. And, you know, I'm just elated, you know. So I'm going back to my rental car, bringing all my notes and props and stuff and walking down this corridor. And a lot of times when the Lord will speak to you when you're alone, you know, when you're quiet, you know. And so I'm walking, just kind of reminiscing, thinking about what happened, the events of the day. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I didn't call you to Kansas. And then I'm saying, okay, Lord, well, you know, he said, what did I tell you? I said, this is where you need to be. And I was in Darrell when he said that. So I knew from that point on, this is headquarters, you know. And I tell people, you need to settle it in your heart. You see, a good assistant, they're going to be faithful. You know, you know, I don't believe God called you here for two or three years and then move you to another church down the street. No, that's not God. That ain't God. You know, my wife, she has a green thumb and she likes plants. She's got a greenhouse in the backyard and has plants all over the house. But anyway, she doesn't like to move the plants much unless she has to, because once they get situated and they start growing, they flourish in there. You know, in that soil, in that area, in the yard. But when you dig it up and move it, you kind of stunt its growth. Sometimes it'll die because it's used to getting so much sun, so much water throughout the day. You know, anytime you uproot, you know, and you uproot from one ministry to the next, you're losing something, because it's, you know, unless it's a divine orchestrated move that God and your pastor has also blessed you in order to do it. You know, I tell people, man, stay with God, you know, settle in your heart that this is where God called me to be. Let me move on. A good assistant in ministry can be compared to an ambassador. like an ambassador of a country. He does not push his own ideas or agenda or vision, you know, but only those of his country or only those of the pastor's vision for the church. So, you know, in the ministry of help, you're really an ambassador. You're representing your pastor. You're representing your church, you know. So, you know, it's not about you, but it's about you promoting the vision, you promoting the agenda of your pastor, being a good, loyal, faithful assistant. You know, I tell people in ministry, I said, if you go to minister, whether it's prison ministry, get invited, and, you know, and one of the things I'll never do, and I just don't do it, never have, never will, I'll never go minister for anybody under any condition unless I first get the blessing of my man of God. I tell them, no, you know. And then there's times I've called in, you know, I got invitation to minister at such and such little get together, whatever. And, you know, Leroy Jr. said, okay, I'll let Apostle know. And then 3 or 4 days go by, I don't hear nothing. After about 4 days, if I don't hear nothing, that's a silent no. And I'll call back and forth to get, so they can have time to get somebody else, you know. And because there's been times I've called and I never got a response. But in my heart, I kind of knew already, you know. And so like those now, I tell them right up front, you know. I'll think about it for a second and I'm saying, you know, what would my apostle say in this situation? You know, and if it's something I know he would question, one of the things apostle will never do, he will never hold you back. You know, he tells ministers, he says, look, it's not my desire to hold you back. You know, one of the things Dr. Forbes says, it's okay to think for yourself, but don't think by yourself. In other words, you know, always, you know, touch bases with your man of God. Always, you know, your pastor, you know, run it by him, because their job is to protect the sheep, okay? Their job is to watch over the flock, and you're part of that flock of that church. So they're praying for you day and night. And so God, because of their position, God gives them divine insight and revelation, you know, pertaining to what the sheep need. And some things, sometimes the sheep may not, they might not be a good option for the sheep. And you might not see it. Going back to my good friend Dr. Forbes again, one of the things he always quotes a lot of movies. You know, every time he ministers during the summer, I always say, you know, I want to know what your catchphrase is for this meeting. And but anyway, one of the movies from the Matrix, he knows the guy's name, but he made the statement is, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, you don't have to know everything to follow properly. In other words, you don't have to know the full picture in order to follow. A lot of times people want to see everything, but a lot of times you just have to operate in faith that your man of God is going in the right direction. And just because you don't see it all, you know, don't mean you can't follow, you know. And then that's very important that we understand that. So a good assistant in ministry, you know, it's like an ambassador. You know, you represent your man of God. You represent, and you don't want to have an independent spirit. What I mean by that is he must not be one with an independent spirit or renegade, difficult, or a person who can't be controlled, you know, a rebel. Always one that wants to buck the system. Always one that wants to challenge. It's okay to have an idea, but if it's not the God idea or the way the man of God want to see, be, you know, because it's not about you. It's about you supporting that vision, and that's so very important. I've seen people leave the ministry because their views weren't, you know, put up front, you know, or I'm thinking, and this is the way we need to go, but no, but who made you the pastor? You know, it's not a democracy, it's a theocracy. You know, it's not the majority rule, is God in charge, and God operates through a man. Amen. All right, let me move on. Let's see. And I stated this already, but I want to reiterate it. I didn't state it, but I want to make sure I state it. Working as a loyal assistant in the Ministry of Helps is a calling of God. You know, I'm not going to read all the scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it talks about, you know, according that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, you know, and how God predestinated us. Before we were born, God had already predestinated us. He already predestinated me to be where I am today. You know, but it's up to me to get in line with God's plan for my life so that at the right appointed time, I could be where I am now. You know, if I would have been, you know, if I would have married the wrong person, I would have been in another place. I know that for a fact, you know, I can go into that. That's a whole another message, another teaching, you know, but it's very important that you hook up with the right person, you know, because you're called together in ministry, you know. There's very few times in ministry that my wife is not by my side. 99% of the time, the only reason she's not here tonight was because she wasn't on schedule for camera. But if she was on schedule, she would be right back there or in the other room. You know, we do everything as a team, you know, in ministry, and it's such a blessing. You know, because we were part of the same vision, we submit to the same man of God, you know, and we understand and know our roles in the ministry, and that's so very important, you know, being loyal, assistant, that brings honor to your man of God, and also to the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, if God called you to the ministry of helps, and in a particular area, you know, you can't turn that around. You just have to add it up and do what God's called you to do. Amen. All right. 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Let's see if I can do this. I want to give you some pointers or some key points about loyalty. A loyal assistant will always make mention of their pastor often, and in a favorable light. You know, they're not going to criticize. They're not going to undermine or backbite or talk bad about their pastor. They, you know, they're always going to mention and put their man of God in a favorable light, you know, in front of other people. And they won't allow other people to speak bad. And somebody may start, and I'll say, hey, look, if you don't understand, if you don't say something that you don't know, don't because of hearsay, you know, you do better just to stay in your lane and keep your mouth. One of the things you don't want to do, you don't want to put your mouth on a man of God. So always, a lot of times, I correct people right up front and let them know, you know. Because see, what this does, this helps keep you in alignment with him and alignment with the assignment, and allows the grace that's on your pastor to come upon you, you know, because you're flowing together with him. I already said I never minister without his approval. I'm just looking at my notes, you know, all his approval and his blessing. Number two, quote your head, your pastor, as often as possible. You know, I mean, when you're under his teaching, you want to say what he's saying. You know, I try to always, you know, I always let people know who I'm submitted to before I minister. I always acknowledge my man of God. And see, that's just being a loyal assistant. You know, that's what loyalty is all about, and that brings honor, you know. So people don't have to guess, well, he's starting his own ministry. No, that ain't happening. I'm here assisting my man of God, you know. Genuinely admire your pastor and praise him often. If you do not admire your pastor, you know, why are you working in the ministry of helps here, you know? A bad assistant is full of contempt and a busybody and you know, what to call, you know, messy and, you know, but, you know, I tell people, if you don't want apostle to know, don't tell me, because I will tell. You know, if it's something that needs to be stated and needs to be brought up to higher level, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You know, if you got a bad apple or a bad seed, it'll just sprout up and grow. You know, so I believe in nipping it at the bud and getting it straight, you know. Also, too, honor your pastor and his wife and the first family, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I like my man of God, but I got issues with, you know, his wife, and I know we got a pastor's wife here, but when you dishonor the wife, you dishonoring the man of God, you know, because they're one, you know, they're partners in destiny together, and God has called both of them, in that church. So it says, bless her by giving her gifts and sowing into her life as well as the apostle. Take note of any person who does not respect the pastor's wife. It is an important sign to me that they do not respect the pastor as well. You know, because it just can't be, you know, because that's trying to bring a wedge there, and God is not the author of confusion in no kind of way. All right. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, I'm done. I got 3 more pages or so, but I'm done.